All right, good evening, everyone. Good to see you. Hope everyone had a good afternoon. Nobody was outside playing baseball. You might be passed out right now. It's a hot one today, but nice out, nevertheless, nice and sunny. No rain, but it looks like it might be on the way. Hopefully it cools it down for us. But good to be back in church. I'm thankful for church. I say that a lot, but I am thankful for it. I need it. I'm thankful to get around God's word, to hear it preached, for it to prick my heart, for it to challenge me. I'm thankful for this church that I get to call home and for the people I get to serve the Lord with. I'm just love church, and I'm thankful that God set it up for us. God knows best, and he knows that we need the fellowship of the believers to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to cry with each other, to laugh with each other. And I'm super thankful for what God provides in a church. So for our first song, if you would, stand with me to page 821. We're going to sing about something that I always scratch my head at, singing about God's grace. Something I'll never fully wrap my head around. God's so good to us. We're going to sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin, page 821. Up with a word of prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for how freely he gave his life and his ministry and was always available to heal and to soothe and to teach the way of life everlasting. Thank you for the Word of God, the sure Word of God which we can depend upon. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that God is in all truth that wrote that book. And we pray now that your blessing will be upon us. Help us to listen, to heed. Help the Word to sink deep into our hearts. And pray that the Holy Spirit will have a sway, the pastor tonight, and we get the listeners.
Amen. If you would, turn over with me to page 100. Page 100. Jesus is all the world to me.
Oh.
Amen. You may be seated. Good evening. Glad to be in church tonight. Glad to be saved tonight. Thank you for the cleansing wave of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him washing away our sins. It's a blessing this evening to have the Seabolds with us, Rev and his wife, and glad they came on by. And Rev, you come on up, sir. He's going to be preaching for us tonight, so glad that he's here and looking forward to see what the Lord has in store for us this evening. Sure, it's good to be here tonight. Amen. Now, I'm used to people saying amen, especially when I said I'm all finished. It's not a crime to smile and laugh in church. It's a good thing. We are happy people. Praise the Lord. And we love the Bible, God's own word. Satan had a hold of you and me. Jesus came and set us free. Amen. I'm glad to be here, privileged to be here. And I'm excited about being here. Looking at you, Lord, give me grace. I'm going to try and let you smile a little bit. This part of the country is not a smiling part of the country. If you just get on a bus someplace or just get on a train someplace and just look at the people. And they're sad. Jesus made us glad. And so we are happy people. Praise the Lord. And we love the Bible, God's own word. Satan had a hold of me. Jesus came and set me free by the blood of Calvary. Oh, praise the Lord. We're happy people. And oftentimes I've said that before here. And you know the punchline. The punchline comes. If you are, tell your face. Don't keep it. We had one. That's good. There's one back there. He's just got a smile. All right? That's good. We are happy people. And God's children ought to be happy people. And what our lost and dying world needs is the truth of the Word of God. And you get the truth of the Word of God, it does make you just a little bit happy. I mean, maybe a little bit more than a little bit happy. I'm not asking you to run around the church. Just praise God for what He's done. Take your Bible and turn any place you want. It's all good. It's all good. And my wife will say to me, why did you bother making notes? You never use them. You never look at them. And it's called Rambling with Rev. My nickname is Rev. And so it's called Rambling with Rev. And I usually take a vote on what time you want to get out of here. I hope you didn't come to leave. It wasn't easy to get from where you were to get here, all right? And it's a good place to be. I thank God for it. A couple cliches that I use, and then I'll get into the Word of God. But I refer to myself as an educated idiot. Everybody smiled a little bit on that, but my wife didn't. She gets embarrassed. She said, "Did you have to say that? Did you have to say that?" God's moves real good to me. High school, I was kind of like in the bottom of the barrel there. Anybody identify with that, what it's like to be down there? And I was. And when I told my guidance counselor I was applying to Newark College of Engineering, he said, "You're wasting your money. Just the application fee was a waste of money." And so I went ahead. My oldest brother graduated from NCE. Sigma cum laude, or whatever. Anyway, up yonder, up here. And then when I came through, I had the same last name. And so they assume I had the same brain and the same intelligence. I'm saying that because God can use anybody. Amen. It might not be in the same thing, but God can use you. He said, "Well, I'm kind of like bald-headed, but God can still use you. I'm kind of stammer, so forth. God can use you." God needs this place right here to be on fire for Him. Here, amen, it's exciting to be here. But in the grocery store, it's exciting to be in the grocery store. It ought to be praise God from whom all blessings flow. And I've been in the ministry a long time, and I've seen folks who've gotten saved, and they're not going to let it pass. They're going to let it be known that they're born again. So do that. Did you turn someplace in your Bible? That's good, good. So let's have a word of prayer in closing. You got it. You better leave here with a little bit more than what you came with. You know, I've been in the ministry for a long time, been with teenagers for a long time, been with
older people for a long time. And we need to represent to a lost and dying world that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I've seen too many Christian folks who look like it's a hard thing to be a Christian. It's a difficult thing to be a Christian. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. And so you ought to have that same, and I'm not saying you don't, but you ought to have that same idea. I'm glad I'm a Christian. Things I used to do, you know that little chorus? Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. And I see fewer and fewer Christian people singing that song because they don't want to lie. Amen? But I'm glad tonight we have the good crowd here. We are happy people. Turn your Bible. I'm your speaker.
Yes.
you try to say something. I got the point right there. Turn your Bible. Amen. Book of Proverbs. We'll be bouncing back and forth. And if you're looking for a title, so am I. Some things you ought to learn. All right. I have preached over 13,000 times. Same message. People, when they fall asleep, they just kind of go to another church. And no, but I've been preaching for a long time. I don't claim to be a preacher, okay? And to be astute and study Greek, and that's not my forte. My heart burden is for the salvation of souls. And once we get saved, to stay saved, you're not going to lose your salvation. But I mean to stay, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I mentioned, you know, I got saved in my junior year at North College Engineering. And when I got saved, I wanted everybody to know it. I used to live in Belmar, took the train from Belmar to Newark. And when I got on the train or the bus, I took my Bible out, got the biggest Bible I could possibly carry, and sat down to somebody who looked like they were awake reading a newspaper so I could witness to them. And I didn't know much about the Bible, so I could witness to them. And we need this institution here, this group of people, this church right here, to be willing to say, I'm going to talk to everybody. I'm going to talk to everybody. Praise God. We're happy people. That world out there, they're not very happy unless they win the lotto. I found the Lord, a rich man am I. And so could we muster up just a little dynamics in what God has done for you? Can you bring that up? And so I want to share some things that maybe I learned over a good number of years. And in your Bible, did I tell you to turn to Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 4. We're getting closer here. Proverbs chapter 4. And there's enough that we can just, I want to center in on a couple of verses, but go to verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from thy words, the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. And she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Wisdom, doing that which God tells us to do when God tells us to do it. That's wisdom, doing what God's told you to do. And when God told you to do it. Now, I'm not going to do it later. You're going to do it when God told you to do it. That might be now, it might be another month, it might be a year. But you're going to do what God wants you to do. I see some young men sitting out there. Amen. It's good to see you. But I put my glasses on, so now I can't. It's good, isn't it not? I'm glad you're here and you're in church. Learn. So I'm going to start with learn. Some things you're going to need, you should do, you know, whether you're young or old, but learn to listen. Learn to listen. We had a good number of people live with us when Ma was the dorm supervisor in our home. And we had a whole bunch. And we would teach them to learn learn. And if they didn't do what they were told to do, or my own three girls, if they didn't do what they were told to do, look at me was the code. Look at me. I told you to put the whatever away. Look at me, only as a mother could do. And she did that to just her own girls. Look at me, look at me. Some of you are smiling because you practice this, huh? Look at me. We need to learn to listen. You say, well, I'm a grandma. These young people, they're not dumb today. They would look at grandma and say, she's an easy mark. I can get away with grandma. And some of you grandmas out here, if you got right with God, would say, you ain't getting away no more. Rev said something about that, and we're going to nail it down. We're going to give to some young man a decent young lady because she's been nailed down. She's been taught to live the way a young Christian lady ought to live. Amen. Well, not everybody, not done. And then you kind of start, grandma, you start making excuses. Not you grandmas, it's the grandmas that aren't here tonight. We need to once again raise up a Christian standard. Yes. Christian young people ought to see the standard in the adult of what God would have for them. Yes. Don't let the culture influence what you're thinking. Yeah. And what you're doing. You'll be greatly appreciative that you had a mom or dad who said no. Mm. No. Some of us are standing here and some of us will be sitting here because we tripped up. She was in a different time period, time zone, or whatever, you know, we went there. We need to have some moms and dads, and we need to have some grandmas and grandpas who said, you need to learn to learn. You need to learn what God would have for you. I'm saying tonight, point number one, learn to listen. Preacher man's going to get up here, and he's going to preach. And he knows what he's preaching. And he's trying to get what God has given him through his cranium out to you, that you might live a joyful, peaceable, well-geared, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Bible. You didn't come here to church to just put, you know, in the door and out the door. You came here to learn something. Now, I'm going to stand at the back door when we're done, and you're not going to get out this one. You're going to go out the back door. And I'm going to ask you what you learned. Fellow with the blue shirt on, what'd you learn? You thought you were going to just sit here and dream about the baseball game. But you're here, and I'm going to ask you, what did you learn? All you adults are laughing because I'm going to ask you, what did you learn? What did you learn? And you can go back to him, and he'll tell you what he learned by sitting there. All I'm saying is we need to do more than what we're doing. Our country, not perfect, but many, many, many years ago, was founded on the Word of God. Yes. It wasn't unusual. I went to Belmar Grammar School, my wife and I, a bunch of other kids, but we went to, and we had devotions in the morning. Read the Bible from the Old Testament, not the New Testament, but it was read in Belmar Grammar School. So we need to once again return to that. We don't want to go back to that. You know what they call that? They call that Christian education. But the secular school had Christian education a long time ago. And some of you are shaking your head saying, I can remember that. I can taught to the tune of a hickory stick. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going on or was going on, but they were a little bit militant in doing right. Amen? Learn to listen. Proverbs, is that where you're at? Now I need to get there. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. It's kind of like a little promise there. You do what God tells you to do, there'll be a good time. There'll be a blessed time. I learned a long time ago, I want God to bless. I want to learn as much as I possibly can. I jotted down here in my notes, you're not listening to me. You're not listening to me. I wonder if we could somehow tap your cranium and find out what you're listening to. In science, I guess it's science, but anyway. You can't listen to somebody like myself preach for more than maybe like 20 minutes, maybe like 10 minutes. You can't listen to somebody for more than a very, 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 very short period of time. You can see the preacher. He knows from experience looking out there. He was wondering why in this part of the country do they say amen and take a nose in the middle of what's going on. We need to raise up a generation again, and with the help of the generation who went on before, and say, I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to serve God. Learn to listen. If I was to give you a quiz right now and say, what did I just say? I don't know if I could pass it. But what did I just say? Learn to listen. Parents, grandparents, have you ever had that experience? They're not listening. They're not listening. One of the reasons is because what is being said is not worthy to hear. That idiot box that you have sitting in your living room is not worthy to be turned on. Yeah. We need to raise up a generation for real. Learn to listen. My girls, when they were growing up, I had three girls. And if they weren't listening, and it didn't happen all that many times, but it happened enough. And I'd, Kay, oldest one was Kay. Kay, come here. Listen to me. Listen to me. And I'd be squeezing her cheeks. It's like that. Listen to me. Listen. I told you, listen to me. And then I say to her, what did I say? Listen. No, I don't want a demonstration. Just tell me. What did I say? Listen to me. Listen to me. And Grandma, you might need to get your granddaughter to listen to you. Uh-huh. Those tasty cakes or whatever they are, they can go back in the wrapper. Because she didn't say thank you. Learn to listen. Young people, learn to listen. And, hey, you've got ample opportunity here in this place to learn to listen. Learn to listen. Some things you ought to learn. You weren't born listening. You're born creating a nuisance, a disturbance. And you say, I wish I didn't learn to listen. Learn to listen. Proverbs 4 and verse 13. Let's just read that one. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass by it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. Learn to listen. I'm going to go on to another point in just a minute. We've had the privilege of raising a whole bunch of kids. That's poor English and so forth and so on, but a good number of kids. And I've enjoyed it. And we've always had a large family. Three of our own and 150 or so other kids who just called the ranch home. And so I'm not just standing up here without an idea and I got something out of the book and I want to give you. No, it was real. We had three horses and ponies and goats and all that other kind of stuff so that we could establish a pattern. Listen to me. Listen to me. You want to fly an airplane tomorrow? I get you suited up and do everything else like that. You wouldn't mind doing that, would you? You might not want to fly. I don't blame it. It's a bad illustration. But I would encourage the young people to do what would be pleasing to mom and dad, pleasing to God, and pleasing. We kind of got the idea, well, serving God, that's a dud. It's not a dud. Not a dud. And I'm saying to you folks here, we ought to build up. And in the process, we as adults need to learn to listen. Preacher's going to be up here. And he's going to preach his heart out. And you best be listening. Husbands, you best be listening. To your, no, let's go on. Learn to listen. Point number one. Go to the book of Hebrews. I'm going to have you turn some pages and read a couple of verses. And learn to listen. Can you remember that? I'm going to say, Can you remember that? And you'll say, learn to listen. Can you remember that? Can you remember that? I don't have everybody. Can you remember that?
Learn to listen.
Learn to listen. Some of you wives can practice that with your husband. Learn to listen. I heard the preacher say that. Learn to listen. But learn to listen. As a family, your children want to tell you something. They want to convey an idea. Learn to listen to them. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. You there? Hebrews, I didn't tell you. 13 and verse 5. Learn to be content. Ouch. These are some things that it would do well if family members would learn and church members would learn. And one of them was learn to listen. The other thing, or others might be, learn to be content. We are happy people. Praise the Lord. And we love the Bible, God's own word. Satan had a hold of me. Jesus came and set me free by the blood of Calvary. Oh, praise the Lord. Learn to be content. I'm afraid that prosperity in our nation has ruined our Christianity. We are not content people. Right. I've been around. You say, well, you're driving a nice motorhome out there. Don't ask me who's paying for it. I have no idea. I just get in it and drive. No, it's Solid Rock Baptist Church. They got us, so we don't have to go out and whatever. And content. Learn to be content. Wish I had one like that. Boy, must be nice. Ride around the countryside. How would you like to hear some of the heartbreak stories about riding around in the countryside? I mean, the thing doesn't run without gas. It doesn't run without air in the tires. It doesn't run. I had somebody on the roof 3 o'clock in the morning. They wanted to break into the motorhome. And they climbed up on the roof. And I started opening the door and chasing them away. Got a broom now, but chasing them away. It's not as glamorous as it may seem. You get a blowout out in the middle of nowhere. It starts to hurt just a little bit. But to God be the glory. I'm not crying. It's a thrill to serve the Lord. Learn to be content. Some of you older folks can remember when you went to get a soda pop. You didn't have but about two or three varieties. And when you got that, you had to share it with your little sister. And she got to drink out of the bottle first. And she had no manners and no etiquette. Because you give her a 12-ounce bottle of Pepsi, and when she hands it back, it's now 13 ounces. Ma, she did it again. Learn to be content. And some of the folks here could tell you some of the stories that they had to go through. We would, somebody's water. But anyway, my brother and I, pretend it's a Pepsi bottle. We'd have to share it. And we had to go into the kitchen and put it on the dining room table. Anyway, put it on the table and look at it and pour it into glasses and measure it and make sure it was exactly the same. And my mother wouldn't tell us, because once we got all this figured out, I was going to pick first. I was the youngest. And so it was a big deal if it had one little bit, you know, you follow what I'm saying, okay? Learn to be content. Joey got more than I got. Oh, poor Georgie. But Joey got more. Well, you'll get more tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. Some of these folks are laughing because they know how true it is. Learn to be content. In our churches, folks want to come to church where people are happy. Yes. I said that before. We are happy people. Praise the Lord. And again, I said, show your face. Did I say that? Did I say that? Yes. How come some of you weren't listening? We need to have that in a church. Yes. Sin is a very serious thing. Yes. But I found the Lord. I trust you have as well. Yes, sir. I found the Lord. A rich man am I. Yes. A rich man. R-I-C-H. A rich man. Why are you so sad if you're a rich man? Well, I just don't, you don't understand. My mother, she don't understand me. Or my husband, he don't listen to me. He didn't buy me that mink coat like I told him I wanted. He didn't buy me that whatever it was. We need to have a resurrection in our appreciation. Learn to be content. For parents, say thank you. Do they still do that? Do you still take the candy bar away and make the youngster say thank you? But as soon as he says thank you, what do? Give him back the candy bar. The kid's no idiot. He didn't lose anything. Maybe got a little softer from melting in this weather. But it we need to raise up a group of Christian folks who are setting the pace, who are setting the standards, who have learned to be content. There are some things that you ought to be discontented with. There's enough that this world throws at us that we ought to be unhappy with. I'm not saying you can't be unhappy, but you can be discontent. You can be upset with what's happening. The idiot box. You don't have to be content with that. And I'm not going to give you a lecture or lesson on the idiot. Anybody have any idea what I'm talking about? The idiot box. I was sitting back by my wife. She'd go, "He's talking about you again." That was supposed to be a joke. You can laugh. All right. Learn to be content. Hebrews chapter 13. I said that a long time ago. And verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content. It's not just for little kids who don't get what they want for Christmas. It's for moms and dads who don't get what they want on a regular daily basis. Learn to be content. Having some food, having some clothing. Let's just be content.
Yes.
Let's be satisfied. That was number 2 on my grocery list. Number 3, learn. Number 1, learn to listen. Learn to be content. Learn to be pleasant. Learn to be pleasant. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 18. Now do me a favor and rattle the pages so I get the idea that you are turning. Thank you. I appreciate the young man in the front. All right. He's a fast learner. He's got it right down. Amen. Number 3 on your list, learn to be pleasant. Learn to be pleasant. I'm bold, taking a chance on saying this, but some of you may have smiled more tonight than you have in the last 2 days. This is church. And I know it's serious. But it's a time we ought to be rejoicing. We ought to praise God.
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. Learn to be pleasant. Romans chapter 12, verse 18, I think you're there. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That means our country, our makeup. We ought to be able to get along with other people. And we've dropped down to such a low level that we don't have that contentment. We don't have that joy. We don't have being pleasant. Live peaceably. Peaceably. I just say things that pop into my mind when you pop into it. But you know what it's like to drive in? I'm going to use New Jersey because I think New Jersey is probably the worst place to drive in. And you're sitting at a traffic light and it just was thinking about sending some electricity up there to turn it to the next color. And you're sitting there and it goes, You folks who are been around this part of the country for a while, you know what we're talking about. But we need to have a pleasant attitude. And then on the back of your car, you got the big bumper sticker that says, Jesus saves. And you're just meh, all over. Could you tell from the way they drive or the way they carry themselves if they're a Christian? I mean, could you walk up to somebody and say, "You must be a Christian. You must be a Christian." I think that'd be a compliment that I wouldn't mind getting. And I wouldn't mind you getting it, or somebody else getting it, so that it says, "Jesus saves" on the back bumper sticker. Hey, that's an interesting thing. That guy let me go in front of him. He didn't run me off the road. Yeah. Now, I have to step aside to say this. You can't get too fanatical with this, because nobody knows what to do when you tell them they can move. You can come. No, you can come. Honest, you can go. I'm not going to run you off the road. You can go. That's the way it is in this metropolitan area up here. Could we not spend some time in making a change? That person who's in front of you and you're telling him you can go, he might sense that, hey, I was doing wrong. I wasn't what God wanted me to be. I think that might be sin. I remember back in Sunday school. And you might be able to convey the gospel message just by a simple communication. I believe that you who are sitting here are a little bit tired of what's happened to our nation and all the crud that's gone through it. And all we'd sit around and do is change it and complain. We would say, hey, we're going to let this guy go. Yes. Driving over here, I had somebody that was kind of, and I drive like an old man. But he wanted to get in front of me. I didn't mind getting in front of me. Just get in front of me. I'm not going to let that little teenager punk. No. Let him go. Speed on her, since you brought up the subject. Why does it seem like everybody goes over the minimum speed? You know, it says 50 miles an hour. You go on the parkway, 75, it's up to 70 miles an hour, whatever. How come nobody stays with the speed limit that's posted? 50 miles an hour. And I'm looking at some of you macho guys say, I'm more of a man than that. My mommy didn't tell me what to do. And I'm not going to let some bald-headed preacher tell me what to do. Learn to be pleasant. I'm glad to see some of you smiling. Amen. Anybody remember what number one was? Thank you. And number two? Great. And number three? Very good. You can read your own writing. Learn to be pleasant. Learn to obey. Hebrews 13. Did I have you there yet? Hebrews 13. Some of you there? Well, whoever isn't there, go there, please. Learn to obey. Learn to obey. You ever play Simon Says? Touch your head, Simon Says, touch your elbows. You know why we did that? To teach you how to obey. At the end, and if you stayed in and got in, you'd get the big apple. You'd get to whatever the big prize was. We weren't doing that because we wanted to play a game. We were doing that so you learned that when Rev says, that was a game that we played in our school. Rev says, touch your head. Rev says, touch your knees. Rev says, touch your ears. Rev says, touch your ears. Learn to obey. I think a lot of parents, it's a little bit of concern when the guys get out and start driving and stuff. Just learn to obey. Be home, whatever it is, just learn to obey. And parents, because you've grown up with that philosophy, I'm learning to obey, I'm going to obey the Lord. Straight up, I'm going to learn, I've learned, I will learn, continue to learn to obey the Lord. Obey them that have the rule over you. Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Sure, I'll be glad to do that. Sure, I'll be glad to do that. Sure, I'll be glad to do that. Our Christian school back home, Liberty Christian School, we had a day where every student had to say, sure, I'll be glad to do that. And I, as principal or teacher and so forth, they might ask a student, and a student would answer this way, sure, I'd be glad to do that. And I suggested to the students would do it when they got home, sure, to their parents and so forth. Sure, I'd be glad to do that. I get a phone call. I don't know if it was later in the night or first thing in the morning. And the parent said, Rev, can you stop that? Can you have them not do that anymore? I asked my daughter to put her bed attire away, and she said, sure, I'd be glad to do that. I asked my son to put the garbage out. Sure, I'd be glad to do that. And they said, that's getting a little bit annoying. I don't have to argue with them. No matter what I ask, what I tell them to do, sure, I'd be glad to do that. So where'd this fellow come from? But wouldn't it be nice to have your children say, sure, I'd be glad to do that? Never mind. I was going to flip the table around, but I'm not going to. Learn to obey. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Learn to obey. You give me a couple more minutes, I haven't seen anybody fall asleep. If you're going to fall asleep, don't fall. Yeah. You all awake?
Yes, sir.
Somebody didn't answer that, just nudge them a little bit there. That's good. Learn. Oh, no. This will not be well received. Learn to work hard. I think you poor ladies, learn to work hard. That means you enjoy working hard. You enjoy anything that you can do that would be deemed at work. And you ladies are sitting out there, what in the world is that man saying? Oh, dear, you don't know how tired I am. I had to do 3 loads of laundry. Oh, man, that is a bummer. 3 loads of laundry. You put all that in the machine, push the button, come back in a half hour, throw it onto the other side, push the button. But it's so hard, honey. It really is. I had a tough day. Today's laundry day. Some of you ladies are ready to throw me out of here. I'm looking down there over top of these glasses. If I knew your names, I'd be writing them down. Give them to your husband. Amen. Learn to work hard. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, you know it well. Do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. Learn to work hard. You young men sitting there, and the young lady on the end, learn to work hard. If you had a choice, would you rather do nothing or do something? I trust that you would rather do something. Learn to work hard. Old-fashioned way, earn your pay. The old-fashioned way. Try working. Songwriter said, every work for Jesus will be blessed. But he asks from us our best. That's us standing. That's us sitting. God wants our best. Now, your best will far exceed mine. And he wants our best. Are you planning on doing something for God? You're planning on giving him your best? Doing the best you can to bring honor and glory to him. Every work for Jesus will be blessed. But he asks from everyone our best. Let me say just one more thing, and I think if you're keeping a list, number 6, learn to control your emotions. Learn to control your emotions. We had a whole bunch of people living with us back in yonder days. And one of the games that we would play, we'd do different things with all these kids there. But learn to control your emotions. I'm trying to look at who am I going to pick on. Am I going to pick on the men, the ladies, the teenagers? I'm not going to pick on anybody. Learn to control your emotions. We had some of our kids in school, and we play, you know, I'm not going to laugh. I'm not going to laugh. And I'm looking for a specimen. We want to volunteer, and I'm not going to ask you to. But control your emotions. And we put up a prize or whatever it was, something really nice. And then they had to control. They couldn't laugh. I'm not going to laugh. I'm not going to laugh. Are you sure? If I take my shoes off and toss it at you, what are you going to do? Smile. I'm not going to laugh. I'll pick on the preacher. He can't even look at me without smiling. He's got the fuzz underneath his nose that's tickling him all the time. That's why he's smiling. Amen. I'm going to get out of here before. Hey, Ma, stop that car up before. We'll get out of here. Amen. Learn to control your emotions. We, again, with the kids in school. I enjoyed being in school. And I enjoyed being with them. And still do. And one of the things, again, was that self-control, self-restraint, which you have been, which our culture has done away with. Don't ever say no. You want an apple? No. But you know, I could take that apple and give it to my mother. She could bake it and make apple pie and give it to sis and so forth and so on. We've created a self-centered society. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. I'm not going to laugh. I'm not going to laugh. I'll smile, praise God, but I'm not going to laugh. I wonder if we could do that. Control our emotions. America has slid down because very few people have learned to control their emotions. Our churches are not what God intended for them to be. Although there is emotion in a good direction, there is a emotion in that way. I'm not saying it's a cyclone, but it's emotion. And if we could raise up, you young people sitting right back in here, if we could raise it up where you would enjoy doing what was right. What did you do today? Just played a little basketball. No, I fixed my daddy's car or I waxed it, whatever, you know, you did, and nobody twisted your arm. Nobody broke it. And the dear lady's sitting here. He ironed his shirt, and he didn't even have to ask you three times. We got it down to twice, and we're happy with that. Don't press it, Ruth. Learn to control your emotions. And I made reference to school often. But I enjoyed, if you didn't get that, I enjoyed being in school. I thought it was a place where God could use moms and dads that could use being in school. Would we once again have a heart's desire to raise up a standard? Your sanctuary here, this place that God has put his hand of blessing on it, God wants to continue to bless it and continue to use it. And I ask the question, if you don't, then who will? We cannot continue to turn our back on it any longer. We're riding the residue, and it's up to us that you will do what God wants you to do. And young people, I saw a couple of you smile tonight. And maybe you were laughing at me, or maybe you were laughing with me. But you're the future. Uh-huh. And thank God for you. Keep on keeping on. Raise the standard. Learn. And may I say right now, today, no better place to learn than in God's house. In your Christian home. With God's people. Heavenly Father, we rambled and we jumped from spot to spot. But your precious Holy Spirit can take something that was said and use it with this group of people. Lord, I pray that great things will be accomplished in the days that lie ahead. Our nation, as we all know, is in bad array. But there's sufficient folks sitting here in this place that can make a good impact for the cause of Christ. May we be found faithful in serving you. And we'll give you all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother, you might want to come. Otherwise, I'll keep right on talking. I appreciate it. Appreciate your attending this. But we need to do something. It's not going to hang on like this if we don't turn it around. And who can turn it around? God's people. You who love the Lord. I'm looking for somebody to play piano. Nobody played piano. Oh, there's a young lady right there.
Who told me?
Who?
I missed that.
Praise the Lord.
I wanted to do something real quick. I believe he gave us 7 things.
When I used to teach in the juvenile center when I was with those kids, I'd have 3 or 4 pictures that I printed out, and I would take it in there and I would show them these pictures.
And one of the pictures was a wide open field, and it had some sand on it, but it was wide open field, and way off in the distance you could see some power lines way off in the distance, but then this open field up to those power lines. And then I showed some other pictures of some men that were digging holes. And I would ask them what those pictures were, and most of them didn't have any idea. But I think some of what was given to us tonight, I would consider it, in a small sense, a roadmap. Okay? A roadmap to try to stay out of the ditches or places that would get us into trouble. So I didn't want to use any of the paper that I had in my Bible, and this is kind of a crude drawing, but let's say this. Let's say we have this field behind the church over here. And let's say in this field behind this church over here, there were landmines that were dug up and put into the ground. And then I said, we're going to have to walk across that field to get to the other side. And that picture I would show those kids was that long open field with those power lines way out there. It was a country over in Africa, and it's one of the most dangerous countries when it comes to landmines. And there's many areas in this country that have never been cleared from the war's path of landmines that were underneath the ground that you could never see with the open eyes. So what I take tonight is from what Mr. Rev gave us was basically a road map. And how foolish would it be to take what he said tonight and let it go in one ear and out the other and be like, well, yes, that's just what he's saying, when in reality he's trying to keep us from stepping on a landmine. Now, let's say I were to take all of us out here to this field and I say, listen, we got to cross this field, but a good thing, though, is we have to cross this field, but I want you to know there's good news to it. It's very dangerous. There's a lot of landmines out there, and a lot of people have lost their lives. But I have some good news. Is somebody's gone before us and has given us a map of exactly where we need to step and how we need to go through this field without getting hurt. And I say, but this time I can't go with you, but what I can do is I can give you the map to make it through there. How foolish would it be for one of us to take this and be like, thanks, I appreciate it, but I got my own map over here, and I got it. Now, if you were leading a group, I'd be like, okay, you go by yourself. I'm going to stay back here, and you go ahead. Or I would be like, why did you just rip that up and throw it down? Because if you don't want it, I'll take it. But that's exactly what we got tonight, and that's exactly what this is. And I said it this morning, and it's ironic, some of the things that he mentioned tonight. How many take this and set it off to the side and say, I got this, I know God, and I'll be all right to do it opposite of what this says to do, and expecting the same results? You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. So, learn to listen. Learn to listen, learn to obey. Instructions that given to you. Especially for those that have gone on before us and know where some of those landmines are at. I'd be more than happy to follow somebody who knows where they're going so that I don't have to try to maybe hurt myself, because in my pride I decide to do it my own way. And I end up losing a leg because of it. It's interesting you brought up the speed limit signs. It's not a good thing when you got to go to a car wreck when somebody's been going 85, 90, or 100 miles an hour and hit a tree at that speed. That's not a fun scene to clean up. And I've been there before having to clean some of those scenes up. So I pray tonight we'll take heed to what Rev gave us out of the Word of God, that we'd be obedient to these things, we apply it to our lives, and allow God to instruct us and help us to be obedient to Him and stay faithful, because there is just a residue left. There is just a residue left. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace, dear God. I thank you for the message tonight. Lord, I pray we take heed to the things that were given to us. 6 or 7 points, Lord, I pray we'd apply it, Lord, that we wouldn't just let it go in one ear and out the other, dear God, but we'd take heed to what we heard. And Lord, that we listen to instruction that comes from your word and that comes from you. Dear God, help us not to take shortcuts. Help us to think. Help us not to think that we can just handle ourselves, dear God, but help us always be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit and to those that are willing to give us good and godly instruction. God, so that we don't fall into the same pitfalls or traps, dear God, or ruination or destruction, Lord. So God, help us this evening, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity tonight. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I ask you just dismiss us with your blessings. Lord, I know some storms are coming in and across, dear God, so I pray that you keep us safe on the roadways. And Lord, if it be your will, Lord, you bring us back again on Wednesday evening. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, brethren. Glad to see you tonight. Dismissed. And Lord willing, see you Wednesday. Amen. Oh, I'm going to put a basket back there. If you'd like to put something in there for a love offering for Rev and Ma, we'll give it to them before they leave out. So we'll get a basket back there. And if you'd like to give them something, we'll get it over to them. Amen.